I don't want this show to become the surprise Prison Planet defense podcast.
Yeah.
However, I mean, within the established parameters and framework of what I imagine a no-nut November is like.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense to be watching pornography. Why are you doing it? Just to torture yourself?
Sometimes, like, yeah. Well, yeah, maybe.
Getting a deliberate boner is surely antithetical to the spirit of No Nut November.
It's like an alcoholic who, you know, just wants a sip, just a taste.
just for the taste.
Yeah, it's like Bloomsbury School authors who said that like wine wasn't alcohol. That's what we're dealing with here, I think. Like, I think prison Paul is right. I think if you're gonna do it, you may as well do it properly.
Maybe they only watch porn that they themselves are in. And it's a sort of like just reflect on their, you know, how like athletes have to watch back the film footage of the games, like critique their own performance. It could be that.
Like maybe, comedians have their recorders on the on the table back.
Well, maybe they're watching porn because they like the storylines, but you know, like the stuff
that's
that happens.
That's true. There are some good storylines.
Before the actual
I remember
sex.
When I was in like seventh grade and discovered porn, like video porn. I had seen like pictures, but I discovered like video porn. I was like, I want to watch all the stories. I just want to see the stories. Yeah. Like this guy, how many pizza guys are there?
Yeah, how many times will this woman keep getting stuck in a washing machine, right? what's going on? Yeah, okay, all right. So welcome to the Prison Pool Defense Podcast. Yeah, okay, I kind of get it. So here's what he says about like he had a tweet about Movember in 2019, which wasn't directly about Movember, but it was from last year's or like 2019 No Nut November, where he made a video in which he says, No Nut November and the Kuma meme represent a deeper meaning. Porn is evil. It literally rewires your brain and it causes erectile dysfunction. Take the pledge. Don't become a Kuma. The reason why I think that this is sort of interesting is because Paul never used to tweet like this until about 2018-19. And I think it coincides with like his complete disillusionment with the Trump project, right? So in 2016, he did a lot of interviews where he was basically taking credit for the Trump election. So he was the one who was saying that, oh, you know, I made the kind of meme of sick Hillary go viral. And like, I've had like people like Roger Stone, like get in touch with me about like having kind of a comms job in the White House. Like Milo Yiannopoulos was sort of saying similar things too about how he was going to go to move to Washington to become like Trump's chief of like press and stuff like that. There was a time when like a lot of these sort of like right-wing figures who came under the Breitbart, Steve Bannon, like umbrella were like thinking that they could basically access the levers of power. And then when they kind of realized that like the Trump presidency wasn't really going to change anything in the way that they wanted to, and was like not only really badly run but completely ineffective, a lot of them I think just like grew a lot of disillusionment with Trump and like Trump adjacent people, and then started to basically lean into like social conservatism. So Paul talking about like not only No Nut November but about like, you know, every so often he posts stuff about like going to church and like various bits of like Christian iconography and like all these like types of things. Bear in mind that Paul Joseph Watson, I think, is over 40 years old at this point. And it seems very clear that like there was a kind of like mini documentary clip that came out like a couple of years ago where he was basically just like, yeah, I can't make content forever. I'd really like to find a partner to settle down with. he sort of alluded to a couple of times how he really wants like a Christian trad wife, and he hasn't been able to find one. And I think this is where it all kind of coincides, like his sort of fixation with like sexual morality and like, you know, this kind of broader fixation on like, you know, pornography and like the evils of pornography, which is stuff that he would just never have really said in 2016. I don't think he would have really cared that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say that I've paid as much attention to that sort of side of the internet in terms of content producers or whatever they're called. What are they called?
Content creators.
Well, that's
content
right.
Creators. We had a whole episode about what you call like creators, and we didn't get any resolution. So you can call them whatever you want, really.
Fair enough. I haven't followed them super closely, but I do feel like I've come into contact with this concept of trad a lot over the past like year and a half or so.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's definitely like become a lot more like visible online. And I think a lot of it, like, again, it comes from like a very similar place to prison pool, where it's very much like these were people who felt that the Trump administration and this kind of like, you know, the whole meme of like, you know, right wing, like conservatism is a new punk rock and like right wingers are kind of winning all the time and stuff, like that was really at like a high because in the kind of early years of the Trump election, obviously the thing that they were kind of really fixated on was like, oh, look how much like liberals are crying about the Trump election, and look how much like, you know, look how we're gonna like change society in a way by, you know, by things like, you know, banning abortion and stuff like that. And I think that like over time, as they kind of realize that the like government isn't really going to do anything, they've sort of lent onto like Andrew Breitbart's conception of like culture is downstream from politics, and instead they're trying to kind of be more like, they're much more fixated on culture, which is probably why they're also much more fixated on like culture wars, because they sort of realize that with enough kind of, with enough being fixed on that enough and producing enough kind of content and posts like around that, they can eventually force a political change, which is like kind of what we sort of saw with like the recent set of elections and like critical race theory.
Yeah, there's I feel like there are a few things going on there. One of them that I think I don't know how to what extent it's being paid attention to. I mean, I definitely think like in terms of mainstream coverage, it's not getting enough of it. In terms of the America First type people and Nick Fuentes and his Groypers and all those people, like they're deliberately pushing, you know, left on economic issues and right on culture issues in many cases, because they realize that like the old traditional GOP product or project is like going to eventually fail because they have nothing to offer people on the economic side of things. So they're going to have to just, they just have had to just continually create these moral panics about, oh, they're trying to cancel Dr. Seuss, they're trying to change Mr. Potato Head's gender, they're trying to do whatever it is, throwing everything against the wall. And critical race theory was the one that stuck, and now they're running with that, and it's working. But if they didn't have it, then I don't know what they would probably, you know, go harder on the trans issue, which is a much bigger issue in the UK.
That's kind of what we've been seeing over here. We haven't really had so much like CRT stuff. Sam, you're right. Like, I don't think the critical race theory stuff is sort of stuck in the UK, but like the trans stuff definitely has, and it definitely like, we've seen that, like Phoebe, we've seen that trajectory where you have like this, the whole like narrative is sort of shaped by like posts and on like online content, but it's kind of been, it's hammered so hard that like we've now, even like today, for example, like the BBC basically admitted that, you know, that they kind of like opted out of like the Stonewall LGBTQ like guidance because they kind of saw the trans issue as being something with like more than one, like the issue around like trans rights being something that has more than one side.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I don't think you have to pretend that Stonewall is a perfect organization to see that it is obviously extremely bad for an employer which predicates its role in the culture as being one of impartiality, and for them to make a statement that the impartial position is that trans people are not legitimate within a workplace, because that's what it's saying. If they're rejecting the guidance and they're saying that the impartial position is not to take a side, I really don't think that this is something which can have an impartial position. It can have the right and the moral one, and one which implies that it is illegitimate to have trans people in your workplace, and it is illegitimate for trans people to exist in public life. That's clearly not an impartial position, and rejecting the Stonewall guidance makes it clear that it is.